Morning, everybody. I want to welcome you and thank you for being here, especially if you're a guest with us today. I know there's a handful of people who this is your first time here, and I especially want to welcome you. I hope that you find Crossbridge as a welcoming place. I hope that throughout our service, you leave here encouraged and blessed, and that no matter where you are in your faith, like everyone else around you, regardless of where they are, that you would join us all in taking one step closer to Jesus, whatever that looks like for you today. That's what I'm going to ask. And for those who are joining us online, we want to welcome you as well, wherever you're watching from, as it seems to be all over the world more and more, which is kind of fun. Today, I want to wish, for those of you who are fathers here today, I want to wish you a happy Father's Day. I hope it's a good day for you, a day with, you know, relaxing, a good U.S. Open, and no kids whining. I mean, that'd be an ideal day. It'd be a really good day. But we also recognize, just like with Mother's Day, that this day can be tough for some as well. This year, some of you, you've lost dads, and it's been a hard year. For some of you, relationships with fathers is a bit estranged and difficult, and there's a divide there. So when we say Happy Father's Day, you're like, no thanks. And for others, there's this longing to be a dad, or there's this weird stigma that you have to be, and it's just awkward for you this day. So wherever you are, I just want to stop and say we recognize for the men in this room that God's created you in his image, and you are in the position in life that he's pleased with you, and that you have a great calling here at Crossbridge to be a man of God, and we're thankful for you here. And so, you know, I know it could be a unique day, but I hope that you're able to process a lot of that and those feelings well today. Today, we also wrap up our This Is Crossbridge series that we've been going through for about 3 weeks now, and I will be honest with you, I have been waiting a long time for today. I've been waiting a long time for the third message in this series because, as I told you in the first week, I like to plan ahead. I like to dream ahead, and while I've been thinking about this not for 3 weeks, but this has been a message that's been in development for probably close to 18 months. That I've been waiting and waiting and waiting and not being a patient person. I feel like I did good. I feel like I waited well. But as I told you, I like to dream out, and some of the things that get me excited are working with teams. And I love putting good teams together, watching them succeed, and letting them go do their thing. I get really, really passionate about that. And I feel like at Crossbridge, we have amazing teams that develop and kind of go. And when we look at someone and say, you're really good at this, just go ahead. There's no need as an adult to an adult to be like, well, let me micromanage you. It just doesn't work that way here. We say you're gifted and you're talented, go do it and do it well to the best of your ability. But I can't figure out why I can't get this idea of dreaming and teamwork to work inside my family. Why I can't get my family to work together, it just doesn't make any sense to me. When I ask one of my children, would you go empty the dishwasher? I get complaints. And I'm like, we're all on the same team. We all work together. Yeah, but it's not fair. I wish someone else would help me. And I'm like, okay, fine. Other two, help them empty the dishwasher. And then I get more complaints. It's not fair. What's not fair? They're doing the silverware, and I wanted to do the bottom and not the top. And I'm like, I can't win. I can't get my family to work together as a team. And I recognize that if we're going to succeed as a Donnarumma family, we have to work together. We have got to be on the same team with the same objective. Otherwise, things start to crumble. So in our house, we have jobs that everybody has, and the kids have jobs, and I have specific jobs so that Eileen is not left cleaning the entire house. Because that's what happens. If things go wrong in our house and someone doesn't pick up their weight in cleaning, that means everybody pays, right? And you all know what I'm talking about. When someone doesn't do the role that they've been giving, someone still has to do it, right? Someone still has to empty the dishwasher or take the garbage out. Someone still has to feed the dog. Otherwise, the garbage overflows, the dishes build up in the sink, and the dog dies. Right? No one wants that. So everybody's got a job. And in our house, the jobs are equal to their talents and skills and where they are. And we find it that when someone doesn't do it, the house goes to a bomb, especially if mom goes down. We are all in trouble. Our house, it's like, I'm sorry. I tried. That even happened this week. I thought I was doing good for a couple weeks keeping up. And finally, Eileen looked at me on Wednesday when she was feeling really good. And she's like, it's my day off. I'm like, what are you going to do? And she's like, clean. I'm like, well, that shouldn't take long because my standards of clean and hers are very different. And 10 and a half hours later, she's like, I think I'm done. I'm like, what? Am I that much of a mess? Don't answer. Okay, don't answer. But we all have to work together as a team if we're going to operate well. And I remember this in schools as well. And for those of you in school right now, you know that when you get put into a team and someone doesn't pull their weight on the team for some project, you get frustrated because if you want the A, someone's got to do it, right? So it's usually the overachiever who's like, I will not, you know, fail, so I'll take your portion. And slackers like me are usually like, thanks, appreciate the A. There's this tension that we have when someone doesn't pick up their portion, when someone doesn't get involved in what we're asking. It happens in a family, it happens in school, it happens at work, and it happens in church. If we talk about our church as a family, as a collective group, it really helps when we all work together to the same goal, the same vision. And our vision at Crossbridge, we unpacked it on the first week, is that we are loving God, loving people, and serving the world. This is all we're going to focus on. This is all we're going to do. And everything we do will revolve around this. And last week, we unpacked that we kind of measure what we're going to do based on our Crossbridge family rules, our family values that we have, where we're unashamedly biblical, family-focused, Holy Spirit-empowered, intentionally relevant, and relationally transparent. This is who we are and who we're going to continue to be. It's why some people stay and some people go. This doesn't change about who we are. This is Crossbridge. This is who we are. And I love this because it keeps us going. But where are we going? What's the future of Crossbridge look like as a family? Before we jump into this, like I said when we started, I know that our church is made up of some different people and all different walks of faith. And so if you're here this morning and you're part of a community right now where you are exploring your faith. You're just trying to figure out who's Jesus, what's Christianity about, and you're here because Crossbridge is a safe place for you to ask questions. I want to tell you that I am so thankful you're here. I'm thankful that this is a place you can ask your questions and you could figure out what's going on, and you know that we're unashamedly biblical. We're going to go after Jesus, but we invite you in to ask all that stuff. We love it, love it, love it that you're here. For today, I'm going to give you permission to sit back a little bit. Okay, you could sit back and just listen, because we're going to have a family meeting, a meeting where we stop and come together and say, okay, where are we at and where are we going together? For those of you who are here and you would call yourself a Christian, and that is someone who's put their faith in Christ Jesus, you believe that he's the Son of God, and that if with your trust in him, your sins are forgiven. If that's where you're at, we got to talk. We got to have a meeting about where Crossbridge is and where we're going, because this is our family. And to kind of unpack this a little bit, I think it's important for us to remember, where are we going? Like, what's the point of Crossbridge? What's the point of church? We can't get that unless we understand what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 28. And in Matthew chapter 28, he's with his disciples, and it's the very last thing that he's going to say to them. If you come from a Christian or a churched background, you will know this passage as the Great Commission. It's where Jesus gives his final task. This is what I want you to do to the disciples. This is what he says. And we'll be reading out of the New Living Translation. So if it's different than the Bible that you're using, that's okay. Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, what's that word? Go. And make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, to the very end of the age. Our task is four words. Go and make disciples. Go and make disciples. As a church, this is why we exist, is to go and make disciples. And disciples are people who have said, I now want to put my trust in Jesus. And when I put my trust in Jesus, my responsibility then is to do everything I can to look like Jesus in every part of my life so that everyone around me, all the world, will know that there is forgiveness, hope, and a future in Christ Jesus. Right? That's what being a disciple looks like. You can obey all the rules you want. 613 we talked about 2 weeks ago, but we're not going to go after that. looking like Jesus and making disciples means you're loving God and loving people as best you can through the power of the Holy Spirit. We're called to be transformers of the world, right? Our call is to go and make disciples of all nations. I don't know about you, but this gets me pumped up. Like, we're supposed to change the world. I get excited about that. I like doing things locally, but the idea of, Jimmy, your job is to change the world. No pressure. Let's do it. I get excited. It feels bigger than I can handle, and I don't know what to do with it, but I know that we're called to do it. And here's what I love about this passage. It begins with the verb, and you said it with me. What's the verb? Go. You can't go if you sit. Right? You can't go if you sit. If you tell your kids or you ask someone to go and clean their room, go and do this project, will it be accomplished if they sit at their computer? If they sit in front of the TV or if they sit with their tablet? No, nothing gets done. In order to get the task done, it involves going, which is active. There's a doing part to our faith that we have to get off our butts and get on the move. And this idea of go, when it says to all nations, the tendency when I read this verse is like, so do I need to go to every country in the world? Do I just need to keep traveling and telling everybody that that's what? This is not the call for every Christian. It is the call for some. For those who God has been given a specific call to, we call the missionaries in our community, where they are called to go on mission somewhere overseas. They don't go usually to that nation and then go, okay, good, I've touched this nation, now I'm going to go to this nation. They usually go to that nation and then stay in that nation. And it's then as they're going in that nation. And so the same context works for us. As we're going in South Jersey, as you're going in Mullica Hill, in Swedesboro, Woolwich, Logan, in East Greenwich, in, you know, West Deptford, wherever it is that you live, as you're going there, we're called to make disciples. This is our calling. So how do we do it? What's the practical steps we could take as a church? And in order to explore that just a little bit, I want to jump over to the letter to the Romans, which is going to be a couple chapters to the right in your Bible, written by the Apostle Paul. And this letter is amazing. If you've never read it, the first 11 chapters are some of the most deep theological truths that I think everyone in our family should understand. They will change your life when you understand them. They will give you compassion for people and a grounding in the truth to know that Jesus Christ loves you more than anyone else in the world and will give up anything for you, including his life. He gave his life up for you. When you get this, it changes your life. Then when you hit chapter 12, it gets super practical. It's like, okay, now that I know that, what do I do with it? And so it gets crazy practical in chapter 12. And I just want to start by reading in verse 3 for the local church. It says, because of the privilege and the authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. He starts out with a warning for the church and the people. Isn't this interesting? Don't think you're better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by the faith God has given us. Don't think you're better than you really are. Now, we just said a second ago that our job is to be going, right? And now when we look at what Paul says, he says, hold on a second, I need you to stop. I need you to stop and think about where you are. Stop for a second and take an inventory. This means that not only do we have to go, but we have to know when to slow. Slow down, stop and take an assessment. What's really going on? And I like the idea that he says, make it an honest evaluation, because I don't know that we're as honest with ourselves as we'd like to think we are. Right? We can really sugarcoat things sometimes. Our families can be crumbling and we'll find the things that go really well and say, I'm doing good. I'm doing really well. Or sometimes one or two things start to crumble and we melt down. It's like, how you doing? Everything's horrible. We're like, whoa, is that honest? Not really. And so we need to take an honest evaluation of ourselves. When's the last time you stopped and kind of looked at life and where it has you? I think as a church, if we're a family, we need to stop and take an honest evaluation. Let's look at Crossbridge for a second. what do we do really well? Where do we really struggle and things seem to just be crumbling over and over? Because both exist here, don't they? Both exist. You know, for the last 18 months, and I say 18 months because 18 months ago is when I became the lead pastor here, I've tried to look at church. I've tried to look at our community and say, what's honestly going on? And while I can thin slice things pretty well and kind of get a picture of like, oh, yep, that's what we need to fix, I'm not always right. And so over the last couple of seasons, I have tried to take an inventory. What do we do well and what do we need help in? And I've met with multiple pastors who are way down the road from where I am to say, is my assessment, is my honest evaluation really honest? I've met with my personal coaches to say, am I being overly critical of my church in these areas? Or am I being overly like, hey, look, there's all this garbage, but it smells like roses. Like, tell me, am I being honest? And then I've even met with some people from Crossbridge who I know are honest and are not going to lie to me. They're going to tell me the truth. And is this right? Do you see what I see? And so there are things at Crossbridge, I'm going to be honest, we do excellent. We just don't do them well. We do them excellent. At Crossbridge, one of the things I think we do well is we love people. We really love people. We love people wherever they're at, whatever it comes with, but when someone's in need in our church, if they express that need, now there's sometimes needs happen, we don't know about it, and then people are like, why didn't anybody care? You didn't tell anybody. We can't read minds. It doesn't work in marriage. It doesn't work in families, okay? When a need is expressed, I am so impressed by how you respond quickly. You jump to helping people, stopping whatever it is that you're doing if you know and you help. You're the best at this. You love people so well. And because of that, you've been on the receiving end and the giving end of this. And for those of you who have received that love, you're usually the first to turn around and go, I know what it's like to receive this now. I need to pass this on. And you get excited about it. I love that about our church. I love that loving people, we also recognize, means it gets really messy. And so the other part that I love about Crossbridge is we tend to not judge people based on their messes, right? I think you've heard enough from up on this stage from all of our preaching team that none of our lives are perfect. They're messes from up here. Your staff is a complete mess. Your board is a mess. The elders are a mess. And the good thing is that means you could be okay with your mess. And so when anyone walks in here with anything that's going in life, no one looks and goes, ooh, you're messy. It's more like, oh, you're messy. And it gets real uncomfortable, but it gets really real. And life happens well. I don't believe our church judges people based on their messes. And that also means we are in it for the long haul with people. If someone's in a mess, we don't quickly say, we'll walk with you for a month and then we're out. Okay, we're going to love you through whatever season this looks like. And some storms last a whole... they may last a lifetime. We will stay. We'll journey with them. And that's something that's been developing over the last couple of seasons at Crossbridge is we're no longer rushing things. We're not a church who's just going to do things to get them done. No one's got time for that. We do enough. So what we do, we want to do well. We will not rush things. It means we say no to quite a few activities that could happen. Because we can't do that. I love part of our church is that our preaching team, we met this week, and as we start to dream out and plan out messages over the next couple of months, can I tell you one of the primary things that that table talks about? What's a series that our friends are going to want to listen to? What's something that's going to impact our neighbors because they need the hope that I've got right now? And every series that we design, without ever compromising what the Bible has to say about a topic, is always designed with your neighbors and my neighbors in mind, so that whenever anybody comes into this church, they will be able to walk away and take away something, something home. It'll never be a waste of time for them. They work tirelessly at that. And I think at the last couple of months, we have done that really, really well. And the last strength that I think we have as a church, and you may be saying, man, Jim, you're like, you think we do everything well. We'll get to that. One of the things I think we do best at Crossbridge is our kid and teen environments are outstanding. They are outstanding. If you have kids that are involved in CB Kids, you know this already, so I don't even need to tell you. I think people come to Crossbridge for our kids and our youth ministry. You just put up with me. But you stay for that. There are families who have dedicated themselves to Crossbridge, not because of this context, but they have said, I've seen a change in my kids, and I want my kids to stay at Crossbridge through this program, through the youth ministry, because it'll change their lives for the future. I'm staying. I get goosebumps because there are individuals and families in here. I'm not lying when I tell you they have rejected job opportunities to stay in this area for the sake of their kids and what happens over there and what happens at youth ministry. You can't beat that. When your kids bug you to go to church, that's a win. When my kids bug me, Dad, when do I get to go to youth group? When do I get to go to youth group? I get to be a VBS leader, right? I get, yes, we're going to go. Oh my gosh, I'll take it any day. We do these things well. But if we're going to take an honest assessment, there's some things we don't do well. We have recurring problems at Crossbridge, and it's not easy. I looked at our church over the last 5 years, and that's when I was hired. And I've seen a recurring problem that I hate, but I've been dreaming about a way to fix. And I don't have all the fixes, and I'm thankful for some other people who have really helped and come alongside in this. But at Crossbridge, we watch a steady flow of people come into our community. They get plugged in. And Crossbridge is a place you know that everybody's got to contribute. Like, everybody's got to be part of it. There's a place for everyone to serve. And sometimes people start to serve, and all they do is serve. And they continue to get, all they do is focus in, and by a couple months down the road, they're like, I am exhausted. And they burn out, they're fried, and they leave. We burn people out at Crossbridge. I've seen it with guests. I've seen it with regular attenders. I've seen it with members. I've seen it on staff. For those of you who have been here for multiple years, you know this is why our former senior pastor left. Very clearly, he was burned out and done. We burn people out. When we burn people out, it's hard because at Crossbridge, there's an expectation that people will serve if you call this your home. There's a place for you somewhere. And there are some who come tirelessly to set up and break down. They've been doing this for years. There are volunteers over there in CB Kids who they want 2-3 weeks with our kids. But that means that they'll never get to attend a service. Or there's those who, you know, when you walk into Crossbridge and there's some faces out front and they're smiling at you before you ever hit here. And no matter what has gone on before you hit those doors, when they grin at you, you're like, you know what? Today's going to be okay. Like, they're happy. Maybe I can be happy too. Those faces that change your day, do you know they never get to experience worship in here? You can't do that every week and not get to experience worship because worship is what fuels us and charges us. And so people come and they never get to attend service because they're serving in so many different capacities. We burn people out. We burn people out constantly. And not only do we burn people out, but when we don't attend a service, this is our second big issue that I think we need to address is it's really hard to invite friends out to church. Invite neighbors to join us when you can't be here. Right? I mean, in our Future Family series a couple weeks ago, there was a woman specifically in our church who was, I mean, she was pumped about this series. And she's like, this could change everything for my family and my friends, and I want them to come. And I said, well, invite them. And she said, I want to. I was like, well, that's great, but I can't. I said, why? Because I'm serving. And if I'm serving on the week that I want them to come, I can't sit next to them. And how awkward is it to say to your friends, listen, come with me to church. I can't greet you at the door. I can't sit next to you. And it's kind of weird if you come in not knowing anybody when someone's invited you and you're like, hey, why are you here? Because someone over there invited me, but this is weird. Right? No one wants to do that. But at Crossbridge, because we ask everybody to serve and everybody to plug in too often, do we miss the opportunity to invite friends to a service because we're already doing something and we can't sit with them? And if we say that we're a family-focused church too often, are we watching family split in this service? Too often, is there a husband or wife in here listening while there's a husband or wife over there serving? It kills me to see families divided and not holding hands. So not only do we burn people out, but they can't invite their friends and they can't even worship together. We got to take an honest assessment of who we are. And I know you're probably thinking like, dang, Jim, that's pretty harsh. I would rather be real with our community than pretend that things weren't going wrong or there wasn't issues. Because if you always do what you've always done, you're always going to get what you've always gotten. It's the same thing. If we don't change something, Crossbridge stays the same. We continue to burn people out. You can't worship with your family or have a space to invite your friends where you know you'll be here. If I'm being too harsh, you can yell at me now. I'm okay with that. If you think it's an honest assessment, just give me a head nod. Preach it right there. Right, Eric? Come on now. I like when you talk back. It's good. This is where we are. So what do we do? How do we fix our family issues? How do we work as a team? This is our key, starting in verse 4 of Romans chapter 12. Just as our bodies have many parts, and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. That's us, this family. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. In His grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with it, with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving, serve them well. If you're a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage, be encouraging. If it's giving, give generously. If God has given you the leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. I'm not going to lie. I love these next couple verses. Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong and hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. We're called to work together as a family, and each one of us has a very special gift given to us by God, right? If you look in the beginning, it says, in His grace, God has given us different gifts. If you have trusted in Jesus, I mentioned it last week and I will remind you again this week, you have been filled with the Holy Spirit. And because you've been filled with the Holy Spirit, you have certain giftings that are supernatural. Not just like, hey, I have a talent. Everybody's got talents, but not everybody has spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts are given by the Holy Spirit to those who trust in Jesus. And since I know I'm talking to our church, and for those of you who are listening, I'm telling you, when you trust in Jesus, there are supernatural gifts involved, listed here in Romans 12 that we just went through. They're in 1 Corinthians 12. They're amazing. God's given you a special gift, and you're like, I didn't know that. Do you know how you figure out what your gifts are? Do something, right? If you think you have the gift of leadership, and you're like, all right, I'm not going to ask you to lead something huge, but start with leading a kids group, right? And if you can lead this kids group and it goes well, you're like, hey, maybe this is something. If you decide to lead that group and no kid follows you anywhere and they're all over the place, maybe it's not your gifting, okay? The gift of encouragement. If anyone comes to you and they're like, you are so encouraging all the time, other people can help validate what gifts you have. Sometimes it helps by eliminating, I don't like people. You probably don't have the gift of encouragement. Okay? Like, that's a great way. I could check that one off. I don't like leading and no one ever follows me. I could check that one off. I love when someone needs help and I will jump to that. Can I tell you, I think a majority of Christians, in order for the body to work well, have the gift of service. They have the gift of service. There is always things that need to be done inside and outside of the church context, and God has wired a lot of us to say, you know what? I will serve wherever needed. And I'll use the talents, but I love to serve. This is my gift. You have been given a gift. And when one part of our body chooses not to use their gifts to bless the rest of the body, our body suffers. If an arm decides not to use its talents and skills, we get half as much, if not less, done, because our body needs every piece working well. That's why we go at the pace that we go. We don't add more in than we need to, because the body will struggle. The body will hurt. We're not meant for that. So when I look at our church, I see healthy parts of our body, but I also see parts that are very unhealthy and things that we need to try to figure out. How do we balance this out and compensate? We just need to rethink a little bit, because I want to be the church that does this, that we don't pretend to love others. I don't want that garbage. I don't want fake Jesus love in here. I want to genuinely love people. I want us to hate what's wrong, and when we see injustice, we stand up and we vocally say, that's wrong. We could do that. I want to hold tight to what's good. I want to love each other with genuine affection and take delight when each other does well and say, I'm going to honor you by using my gifts so that you don't have to do everything. And how do we do that? We're not going to be lazy. Enough is enough with people who have come to Crossbridge who say, this is my home, and you sit on the side. Enough's enough. It's time to get in the game. It's time to get off the bench and say, I'm in. This is my family and I will contribute. We cannot be lazy, and we will work hard and tireless and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Why? Because we have been given a commission to go and make disciples wherever we are. I love our church and I want this so badly for our church. So it means that we have to change some things at Crossbridge. We have to change some things for our future if we're not going to burn out and if we're going to create space for our neighbors to join us here. So I get real excited, and this reason I say I've been prepping this for a long time is I've been dreaming about this. And on September 10th of this year at Crossbridge, we are taking a giant leap of faith. Not just like, hey, let's try something. What we're going to attempt as a church involves every single person here who's looking at me. It involves those who are watching online. We need your help, and those who are going to listen later via podcast or watch online. We need everyone, because on September 10th at Crossbridge, for the first time since we started as a church, we're going to move to two services. We're going to move to two services, one at 9 o'clock, one at 10:45. And I can see on some of your faces right now, you're like, you just told me we burn people out, so we're going to do more? I see it. Sam, I see you looking at me. I got you. You know why I know? Because I think the same thing. When we have sat and talked about this with the board and the elders and the staff, can I tell you, it's overwhelming. And there are a lot of details. If you're going to ask me, Jimmy, how does that happen? I suck at details. I like to dream, but there are amazing people around me who are really good at details, and they're figuring things out. And here's what I love. God has gifted some of you with ideas to make this happen that we don't know yet, but we don't know yet because they're all yours. We need your help if we're going to make this happen. And when we move to two services, the reason this helps solve our problem is this. We're going to ask everybody at Crossbridge to attend one and serve one. Attend one and serve one. And you're probably going to get tired of hearing this over the next 3 months. I'm asking everybody to attend one and serve one. Every single week, you're going to have a service to go to. There's never going to be a week where you don't have an opportunity to attend. And for those who are super passionate, especially in the CB Kids area, when you're like, I wish I had more time with them, not that I don't like adults, but I love those kids. There's no reason you can't be with them even more. You can, because you can attend that one and you can serve at the other service. This means that you can always invite a friend, because you could tell them, I'll be at the 9 o'clock service. A 9 o'clock service, adding that, can I tell you, this benefits all of our families who do sports. You can now come to service without feeling like you have to miss or have to watch online while you're sitting on a bench, which is kind of cool, but you won't have to do that. You'll be here with people you love and who love you. You'll be able to shoot off on beautiful days down to the beach. You go off to the pool. It creates an opportunity for you to invite your friends and say, we're going to do lunch afterwards if you want to start at the 10:45. And you're like, it's only going to be an hour and 10 minutes. We'll be done. You'll know what's happening at all times. There's no reason everyone can't attend one service and plug in to one service. Attend one and serve one. I get so excited about this because it means that families will now be able to worship together, that you can hold a spouse's hand, a girlfriend's hand, or a boyfriend's hand and say, this is good. We can worship together again instead of constantly feeling like we're split. Does it mean more work for some people? Yeah, there are some, and we've recognized. If you're on the preaching team, you're still preaching two services. If you're on the worship team, we're figuring out. It probably means two services, but we're figuring weeks out. I met this week with our slides team. What does it mean? Well, we're going to figure it out. There are things that we don't know, but there's one thing I do know. I'm tired of seeing people get burned out because they never get to attend and they really want to serve. I feel like we're penalizing those who want to be involved and never encouraging those and giving them the opportunity to say, we want to pour into you still. Because I truly believe this, we're designed to serve each other and we need to. And when we serve each other and find passions in that, and at the same time we turn and say, but I get to be poured into and celebrate together as a family, you're going to be pumped when you leave Sunday. Not think, oh, I got to serve and I don't even get to go. All they do is take from me. I've heard that phrase, and it breaks my heart. We no longer want to take. We want to work together, and we want to give. We want to be a blessing to every person who comes into this church. It creates options. It creates convenience for people. It creates stable relationships for our kids who have more regular teachers. And my favorite part is, it creates more room for our friends. This morning, our kids who are helping doing setup, they brought in extra benches today, and foolishly I said to them, guys, you don't need to bring as many in. It's going to be a low week. It's Father's Day. Look around you right now. There's extra benches that are in here than normal because they didn't want to move them. Our benches are filled with people. But you know what's missing is space for our friends. We're creating room for our friends to join us because we are called collectively to go and make disciples. I want to make this as easy as I can for you. So I've asked our ushers this morning if they would pass out these cards to you real quick. And so, guys, I think they're in the back and you could just run them up. And I figured it would be horrible of me to say, everybody's got to get plugged in. Please do something. Dream about the future. Have fun. Have a great week. No, I'm going to give you the opportunity to say right now, this is what I'm thinking. This is where I'd like to plug in. And so we've got cards that are simply ask for your name and the best way to contact you. And there are opportunities on here for where you can connect. If you say, I'm interested in this, it does not mean you're married to it, that you're doing it for life, and that there's no way out. Here's also a great opportunity if you're already plugged into a situation where you're like, I hate setup. I don't ever want to do this. They wrote me in and I want out. You can get out. You could be out because we're going to try to figure this out together. And so as they're handing out the cards, we know that setup's going to change. It's going to be at 7 a.m. now. For those of you who are like, I love mornings. I wake up at 4:30 to run 18,000 miles. I love people like you because... No, I don't. You confuse me. But I know that you like early mornings, so we're creating a space. This is not an all-male role. My 8-year-old daughter can set up better than half of the people around here because she's got it. She sets up all the curtains, all the benches. If you're in here today, know that there were 3 kids who set up a majority of this sanctuary today. 3 kids. Am I right? They were amazing, moving benches, moving chairs, setting up curtains. If they can do this, you could do this. 7 a.m., we're going to be doing setup. We're going to be doing teardown at 12 o'clock as soon as the service is over. We're wrapping it up, throwing it in the truck. Our sound and tech team, if you're like, this scares me, that's okay. We can help you, train you. If you're curious about what goes on back there and how Christian makes everything sound so good and Mike makes everything sound so good, or Chris, get back there. They can help you. They will train you. Slides. This doesn't happen haphazardly, but there's a great team who invests in time into this, and they're amazing. Lou, thanks for doing that. Lydia, thanks for being back there and doing that today. Our hospitality team. You know those smiling faces that greet you when you come in? We need those. We need those because they change. If you think, I don't know what my talent is, but you like smiling, I got the perfect place for you. I just do. You don't, you is if you could do this, you're set. You're ready, okay? Our worship team, this is continuing to develop. And when we move to two services, I do not want to burn out everybody on our team. I'm thankful that Chris, our drummer, he's not here because he's sick today, but he came to me and to Will, Pastor Will, the other day, and he says, I think I need a couple weeks off. I'm getting exhausted. I'm going to take a seven-week sabbatical, if that's cool, just not play, but come to church and worship. And we were like, yeah, man, go. Take the time. Breathe. Don't burn out. If we're not going to burn out, I like when drums are up here because I get all bouncy and pumped, and I like it, but I'm not going to have one person burn out for the sake of my enjoyment or ours. We need people to plug into this team. If you have a talent or a skill, Will can get you plugged into this. And in our CB Kids area, there are so many opportunities. You don't even have to like kids, and there's a place for you here. If you like parents, help with check-in. If you want to be an assistant, you don't have to do the teaching, but you show up to encourage and to corral like cats, okay? Just stay in this area. We need those helps and those assistants. If you're in sixth grade and up, you can volunteer in that area. The small group leaders, the ones who help to guide these kids. And one of my favorites, can I tell you, our special needs buddies? There are some students and some young adults that are developing in our church. These are young adults and kids with some unique special needs. And I am thankful that God has gifted some of you with amazing patience and amazing care. And these kids get loved, appreciated, and valued when they don't elsewhere. You may not want to teach, but you can love a kid. When we partner you with that kid and their family, you will change a family's life. Janine Robbins heads this up, and we need buddies. We need help. You don't have to pick one. You can pick multiple areas and be like, I'd like to try some of these things. We'll help you find your place, but no one can sit anymore. Come September, we're asking that everyone, if you call Crossbridge your home, you get to attend one, and you get to serve at one. This is our task, to go and make disciples. So I'm going to give you just a minute right now where you can go ahead and fill this out. And then as the worship team comes back up, as we play the last song, the guys are going to come forward and we're going to give back to God. Just take your card and throw it in there. Take your card and throw it in. We'll collect them at the end. If you're like, I don't really know yet, I'm not unapologetic about this. I'm going to hound you. I'm on you. And the reason is because I don't want you to miss out anymore. There's some folks at Crossbridge that this has been your home for a while. You got burnt. You stepped back. Thanks for taking a breather. I hope you feel healthy. But it's time to get back in. We need you. We need you. So take some time to fill this out. Go ahead. And if you're already doing something, check that off as well so that you're like, I'm already doing this and I like it. Don't move me. God, I thank you that you've given each person in here specific gifts. I am thankful that they are all so different. As I look at this church, I see such a collective group of people with unbelievable skills and talents. God, you have richly blessed us with gifts in this place, with unbelievable gifts that are supernatural. And I pray, God, that we would not rob your family by holding these to ourselves, but we would find great, great excellence in serving each other and honoring each other by using these gifts. God, I pray that as we dream for the future, you would give us an exuberant amount of faith for September 10th. I confess that I'm nervous, I'm scared, but I am overly excited with the idea of making room for our friends and seeing a church that doesn't built on burnout, but we're built on something beautiful. And that is people loving each other fiercely, not pretending, working hard at what we do, knowing this makes a difference in this area and all around the world. God, we give back to you also. I thank you for blessing us financially. And as we give back, I'm thankful that you've given us the opportunity as a church to bless those around us. God, would you use this to bless those all around us? inside, outside of the walls of Crossbridge, and that we would continue to dream about the impact you would give us in South Jersey, that people would find hope, forgiveness, and grace in you, Jesus. God, thank you for this morning and this time. It's in your name we pray. Amen.